Our text today are the last two verses of Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah 47 verses 14 and 15 found in your bulletin as well as up on the screen here. Isaiah 47 verses 14 and 15. Behold, they are like stubble. The fire consumes them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. No coal for warming oneself is this, no fire to set before. Such to you are those with whom you have labored, who have done business with you from your youth. They wander about, each in his own direction. There is no one to save you. I told you several weeks ago as we began chapter 47 that I believe that it was providential that we would be in this passage of Isaiah at this time. And unless you've been living under a rock, you're aware that this Tuesday is a national election. Not only that, but I believe that this election will largely determine what type of nation we will be going forward. And if you've not already voted, then make sure to make it to the polls this Tuesday. Exercise that privilege, that responsibility, and that right. Now, if this chapter was providentially chosen for these preceding weeks, these two verses at the end of the chapter are especially important for this, the final Sunday prior to that election. Now realize when I began preaching through Isaiah a couple of years ago that I could in no way know where we would be at this time. Nor could I know the things that we are seeing in our world at this time. There is a reason why we are in this section of Holy Writ at this time. Now that said, I want to jump to the end of our text, to the last words of the chapter. I want to do that first. There is no one to save you. Now know that I said that this is a critical election. Yet also realize that there is no one for whom you can vote who is able to save you. If we put too much confidence in men, we will always be disappointed. And we also run the risk of being in rebellion against God. Yes, rulers are important. Rulers are consequential. And yes, we are to exercise sound judgment when we exercise our responsibilities as citizens. But there is no human leader who can deliver us. All human leaders are flawed, some more than others. All of them are imperfect. Even the very best of human leaders falls way short. Now another thing to realize this coming Tuesday, and as long as it takes for the results to be final, is that God has already ordained who will prevail. For each and every one of those races, all the way down the ballot, God has already ordained who is going to win. And He will have His reasons for allowing one individual or another, one party or another, one faction or another, to win this election. And as I've stated before, God may stay the judgment that we deserve. In the same way that He delivered Judah from Assyria. Or He may bring that judgment, that just judgment upon us in the same way that He did when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem. There is no one to save you. So don't expect that you are voting for a deliverer when you enter the voting booth. Don't put more confidence in man than you ought. Don't also think that all is lost if your guy doesn't win. And don't think that all is well if your guy does win. Don't think that you know what God intends to do in our nation, either in the judgment that we deserve or with the blessing that is His mercy. Now with that out of the way, let's look at our text with an eye towards the theme of the chapter as well as the context of its original audience. If you remember, this chapter shows us that Babylon receives justice. Now not just the Babylon of old, that nation that destroyed Jerusalem, even though that is the immediate context for the audience that Isaiah is writing to, But also remember that Babylon represents all of the systems of the sinful world, and all of them will receive justice. At the end of the day, at the end of this epoch, at the end of this age, justice will prevail. God will right every wrong. He will bring justice upon every corrupt system. Now our text begins with the stubble that is consumed by fire. You know, when we think about Babylon representing all the systems of the world, think about them this way, that all of them in the eyes of God are but stubble. Man cannot build anything that cannot be consumed. Nothing that we create has permanence. And I'm certain that when the architects and the builders of the World Trade Center completed their work, that they expected that those towers would stand for generations to come. Yet within only just a very few hours, both of those towers fell, and they were utterly destroyed in smoke and flame. You see, we cannot launch an unsinkable ship. We cannot design an aircraft that will not crash. We cannot build a building that cannot fail. Nothing that you possess, nothing that you have, think about everything that you have, whether it's something that's tangible or whether it's something that's just on the books like your savings account, your stocks, your bonds. Think about everything that you have, the home you live in, the car you drive, the clothes you wear. Think about that and recognize that none of it is permanent. Every single bit of it could be destroyed in an instant. Mankind cannot create anything that cannot be consumed in an instant. And as a result, we should trust neither in men nor in the handiwork of man. All that Babylon makes and all that Babylon is will be consumed in fire. It's no more flame resistant than dry stubble. Nothing can deliver from the power of that flame. And as we well know, fire can either benefit us or it can destroy us. The flames of our stove can cook our meals. The flames of our furnace can heat our homes when fire is controlled. But those same flames can destroy homes and entire neighborhoods when they rage out of control. We also in this passage get a look back to chapter 44, back in verses 19. If you remember back there, as Isaiah is talking about the folly of idols, he talks about one who takes a log and he cuts it up and he makes an idol with part of it and he cooks his meal over the other part. He sits around warming himself, cooking his meal with the other part. And in our text today, in the last half of verse 14, we find that this flame, this destroying flame, cannot warm us. It cannot cook our meal. It is designed solely for the purpose of judgment and destruction. And we find here that this flame destroys both the idol and the idol maker. You can't sit around this flame and warm yourself any more than you could sit around the raging forest fires such as we're seeing in California. We don't gain benefit. When God's fire of judgment falls, as it will fall, on all of the Babylonian systems of this world, then it will consume completely. None will benefit, none will be warmed, but all will be swept away in the fire of God's wrath. Now, another component of this judgment, as we see in verse 15, is confusion. People are wandering around, each in his own direction. There is no purpose here, there's no unity of thought, there's no shared direction. Now, are you as concerned as I am about the confusion and chaos in our world today? Recognize that those things are a sign of God's judgment upon us. Now, if this is not the final judgment, then it is intended to bring us to repentance. God often brings judgment upon nations and upon individuals with an eye to obtaining their repentance. This is what happened to Judah with the Assyrian threat. God wanted them to repent and to return to Him. Same thing with the Babylonian threat. God also wanted their repentance. In the case of the Assyrians, he removed the threat. In the case of the Babylonians, God did not remove the threat. But in each case, he desired their repentance. Now I have to wonder today if we're facing Assyria and will be delivered, or we're facing Babylon and will be destroyed, and only God knows. The confusion and chaos and calamity that we see today are the result of God's judgment upon us. He wants us to repent. He wants us to return to Him. He wants us to destroy our idols. He wants us to seek His face. However, if this is God's final judgment, as described in our text today against Babylon, then there is no repentance. There's no hope of repentance. There is only the application of God's judgment in consuming flame. Now I want you to take note, I want you to take careful note, that there is a day of final judgment that is coming. And when it appears, there will be no opportunity for repentance, no hope of deliverance. There will be no one who can save you. Judgment was coming for the Babylon of old, a judgment that was carried out in antiquity. And judgment is still coming for the Babylon of today, a judgment upon all the wicked works of man. It will come in God's appointed timing. And when it comes, there is no deliverance. How scary it will be to see it coming and know that there is no escape. But thanks be to God, we're not yet at that point. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's mercy. There is opportunity for repentance today. There is one who can save you. God is patient, but He's not eternally patient. There will come a day when His patience will cease and when nothing remains but the flames of judgment. Now, why are these things written and why are we looking at this passage today? Why has God chosen that we hear these words today? Because He offers His grace and His mercy to us. You see, if we did not know of the judgment to come, if we were ignorant of our sin and of the wrath that our sin deserves, then we would not be ready. We are here today, hearing these words as ordained by God. He wants our repentance, but would we ever repent if we did not know of the judgment that awaits us for our rebellion? For example, would we ever consent to chemotherapy if we didn't know that we have cancer? Would we ever consent to surgery if we were unaware of a condition that required it? Of course not. In the same way, we will not come to God in repentance until we are shown the wickedness of our hearts. You see, in our sin, we are citizens of Babylon. We're trying to build towers while mocking God and thinking that He cannot raise them. We are laboring and doing our business even from our youth. And we're trying to accomplish something for our own honor and for our own profit. We build our own kingdoms, we shake an angry fist in the face of God, and we believe that we can continue in our own way without Him interfering. How foolish, how dangerously foolish. Instead of finding security, we are marching. No, let me take that back. We're not marching, we're running straight into the fires of God's wrath. Nothing we make will endure, and we ourselves will be consumed like dry stubble when it is touched by flame. Now, there is an election coming this Tuesday, and it's an important one, as I've said. But it is nothing in comparison to the election in the grace of God, whereby He has chosen to redeem sinners from Babylon. Those who are His elect, the chosen of all the nations of this earth, will not be consumed by His wrath. They are transported from a life of confusion and chaos and given a life of purpose and peace. He opens up heaven to all His elect through the power of the gospel. How is the gospel? Here is the gospel, rather, the good news of salvation. I want you to know today that there is one who can save you. There is a deliverer who can provide that which you cannot do for yourself. His name is Jesus. God Himself came in human flesh. No human can save you, but the God-man can save you. No human can atone for sin and avert the wrath of God, but God come in the flesh can do both. Jesus, God Himself, took on human flesh and lived among us. He suffered every temptation just as we do, but never once sinned. He always did the will of His Father. He always kept the law of God perfectly. And in His perfection, He was hated by sinners. They condemned Him to death, the agonizing death of a cruel Roman cross. Yet even though it was wicked sinners who killed Him, it was the will of the Father that He suffer and be afflicted in order to pay the penalty that sin deserves. Death could not hold Him. And after 3 days, He showed His power over death by raising Himself victoriously from the grave. You see, that's the gospel. What we can't do, God has done for us. You see that when Jesus came, He came right into the Babylon of this world. He came right where we live in order to deliver captives from Babylon. Until we turn from our sin and repentance and put our full faith and trust in Christ, then we're subject to the same punishment that Babylon will receive. But when we anchor our lives in His love, when we celebrate Him as Savior and Lord, Babylon no longer has a hold over us. We are delivered from the domain of death, and we enter into the kingdom of the living One and His eternal life. Now, in the same way that none of us can know the outcome of Tuesday's election, none of us knows when the day of salvation will end and the day of judgment will begin. There is coming a day when there will be no more opportunity to trust in Christ, the awful day of the final judgment of God. At the same time, even if that day is a long way off in the future, that does not mean that the day when God's patience with you finally runs out is not already here. Don't think that you can wait until tomorrow to repent and believe. You might not get up tomorrow. And even if you do get up tomorrow, it might be after the time when He has given you over to your sin and allows you no more opportunity to turn. No, the only opportunity that we're assured of is today. Right now, today. Scripture tells us today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if His Spirit is bringing you conviction for your sin and you see that He is offering you salvation in Christ, do not delay. There is one who can save you. There is one who can deliver you from the wrath that your sin deserves. But there's also coming a day when there will be no one to save you if you delay. Look at this chapter as a whole. Look at the judgment that comes upon Babylon. And recognize that Babylon is representative of all the systems of this world. Look at the fact that our world is so deserving of punishment, just like Babylon was. Look at how God has always been faithful in carrying out His promises. He was faithful in destroying the Babylon of old, in the same way that He was faithful in turning back the Assyrians from the gates of Jerusalem. God has been reigning over and ruling over all the kingdoms of this world from the very beginning. From the first Babel that raised itself up in opposition to God, and He confounded them and sent them scattering. Every nation state in this world has fallen. In my own lifetime, I remember those who bemoaned the fact that the Soviet Union was becoming such a power, and almost overnight, God destroyed it. Don't think that we in America are immune from that. Don't think that we can rest on our history. Don't think that we can claim some position or some privilege that other nations haven't had. Don't think that we can mock God and get away with it. Don't think that we can trust in our horses and chariots and that He can't stop destruction from coming. Yes, we have a crucial election. But as I said, the most important election is the election of God of sinners to salvation. The most important kingdom is the kingdom to come. A kingdom made up of people from all the nations of the world. Do I love this nation? Yes. Do I want the best for this nation? Yes. But do I put my confidence in this nation? Do I put my confidence in men? No. Our confidence needs to be in God. And I'm speaking now to believers. Shared the gospel here, but I'm speaking to us as believers now. I think that this next week and the reaction to whatever happens is going to go a long way to either cement our testimony as followers of Christ or to destroy our testimony as we dishonor Christ. And I think we can do it in one of a couple of ways. If our guy wins and we gloat, we bring dishonor to God. If our guy loses and we complain, we bring dishonor to God. Don't think that you know what God is doing. I pray that we see revival in our land. I pray that we see restoration. I pray that we see a mighty working of God's Spirit in this nation. And if so, I'll praise God. But if God brings judgment, if God brings more turmoil, if God brings more chaos and confusion and calamity, then it's because He is just. And that's His will, His direction. So this next week, I think, is a very important one for all of us. How we react. And recognize the kingdom of God is greater, far greater than any other kingdom that we might live in. Well, I just wanted to add those final words here. Let me ask that as we remember what God has done, we remember the importance of His election, that we sing this hymn that I'm so thankful is in our hymnal. It's hymn number 289, My Lord, I Did Not Choose You. We sing this from time to time. But it's a reminder that our salvation is in the hands of God. Our nation is in the hands of God. Our leaders are in the hands of God. That He's at work. We don't have autonomy. If we're in the kingdom, it's because He's chosen us, because we never would have in our sin.